So this morning, we did the transfer of merit ceremony. Again, we did it last weekend as well, but it seemed like a good idea to do it again this morning, given the unsettled nature of things happening in the world today and last week with all that went on in Brussels and whatnot. Seemed like an opportune moment to just offer merit for beings. And I thought I would take the opportunity to talk a little bit about what we mean by transfer of merit and what we intend in ceremonial and how those two things come together. So first, what is merit? It is thought and understood, and I think going back to the time of the Buddha, that there is the idea of good and bad karma, the good and bad consequences of our actions, based on whether or not an action is a positive action or a negative action. And merit is the consequence of positive action. And specifically with regard to karma, it's the consequence of positive action on a moral or spiritual level. We're generating merit or good consequences on all kinds of different levels throughout the day when we do work or just get along with others and all that kind of stuff. And specifically, we're generating merit or good karma when we're doing things with the intention of helping beings, with the intention of being compassionate, with the intention of wise actions, and with the intention of learning from our behavior, learning from our actions. So merit is really the result of our efforts to live from a true place, our efforts to live from a deep place, a place of compassion, love, and wisdom. There's a nice story, I think, which illustrates how... Well, first of all, I should say, there is actually no proof that merit exists. I can't point to anything that, you know, kind of definitively proves that good karma, good merit, good act, good consequences comes from spiritual action. And I say that, lately I've been noticing a series of billboards claiming proof of the existence of God, and I don't want to be mocking about that, because in some sense there's evidence for what I'm talking about in our personal experience, but I think for myself I want to just be upfront and say, well, on a kind of scientific way, there isn't actually proof. We can't actually prove it. Although there have been some interesting studies, double-blind studies, talking about the benefit of prayer on healing and things like that. So maybe someday there will be some kind of definitive proof. But the reason I bring it up is that really what we're doing in offering merit, in thinking about merit, in creating merit for ourselves, is an act of faith. It's an act of, and by act of faith, I mean an act of letting go and stepping into the unknown, stepping into emptiness, stepping into the mystery of life. So there's an element of this, again, which I can't prove or anything like that. Time and time again, when I have done, in my spiritual practice, in my life, when I have acted on faith, when I have acted, when I have done practice, the evidence for the efficacy of practice comes back to me time and time and time again. I have no doubt in it. I have no doubt about it. When I say there is no proof, it doesn't mean that I doubt it. It just means the part of my mind which wants proof, which wants things to be logical, which wants things to have an explanation, will be left unsatisfied by what I have to say or by what you can read in the Dharma or anything like that. Or potentially will be left unsatisfied. So, transfer of merit. Simply put, when we do an activity, a spiritual activity, we generate merit, and we can give that merit away. We can offer that merit for the benefit of beings. And as we're reading today in the Shishogi, that work that we recite for this ceremony, it says that that's really what we should be doing as Buddhists practicing the Bodhisattva path. We offer the merit of our training, we offer the merit of our Buddhahood even before we awaken to that, for the benefit of all living things. And there's something that happens when we're willing to do that, when we're willing to give away the merit that we've created, whether that merit is in the form of spiritual peace that arises, or even our material goods. When we give away that merit, if something positive happens. And there's a story I like which illustrates it. I'm pretty sure this is a true story, although I don't know the person involved, or at least I don't think I do. Someone, a friend of our group, our order, was traveling to traveling down I-5 in California, busy freeway, got into a really serious accident. big pileup, crashed their car, was on the side of the road, mangled up, trapped in their car, bloody, mangled, on the verge of death. As they're lying there, and there's traffic backed up behind them, as they're lying there in their car, waiting for the emergency personnel to get there and then work on getting them out of the car, they have this vision of someone back along the line of cars, kind of looking at this from out of their body. Someone back, way back in the line of cars, is praying for them. Just praying for them. They don't know who it is or anything like that. They just are praying for them. And this little tiny beam of light is going up into heaven. Up into the heavens, I should say, since we're Buddhists and heaven is a little bit ambiguous. Where it is, it's ambiguous. This little beam of light is going up into the heavens. And then a giant kind of ray of light is coming down and sustaining the person's body as it's waiting for help. And in a sense, this is what we're doing when we are offering merit. I think myself, there's a great line in one of the movies about the Dalai Lama, maybe it was Kundun, maybe it was another one, where the young Dalai Lama is asking the Dharma regent, the monk who's kind of looking after things until he attains his majority, what he thinks about a particular policy, a decision that the Dalai Lama needs to make. And the Dharma regent, who's he's a enlightened master of his own and quite a substantial monk, says in response to the Dalai Lama's inquiry, you know, what do you think? He says, oh, Holy One, I'm just a bug. you know, you have to make the decision. And in some sense, I think of myself in that way. I'm just a bug. I'm just a tiny little being here doing my best. And it's just that little kind of offering of merit to the Buddha. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm saying to the Buddha, here's a little bit of merit that I generated. Help beings with that merit. And in the faith that something positive will happen. Not knowing what that thing will be, I'm not wise enough to kind of figure it out for people. Maybe it's time for someone's death, maybe it's not, I don't know. I just offer that merit up to the Buddha and say, please help beings with this merit. And I'm doing that quite a bit in my practice, just as a normal kind of activity of practice. I will take I'll do a work project and dedicate the merit to so-and-so in my mind. I'll think, this morning's meditation I will offer to the merit to so-and-so, or maybe just in general. So that's a little bit about what's going on with transfer of merit. That we're making merit good consequences from the activity of our spiritual life. Another thing that we could say about that, though, before I move on, a couple of places. Well, in the scripture of Brahma's Net, which is a Mahayana scripture. I'm talking about the Mahayana version of the scripture of Brahma's Net. It's a Mahayana scripture about the precepts, about the Bodhisattva precepts. It's sort of an expanded version of the Bodhisattva precepts. At one point, I think it says something like, these precepts are without any worldly merit or use whatsoever. And I think that's kind of a useful perspective and goes to the thing that Dogen says about making offerings even though we get nothing whatsoever in return. And when we make that, when we make an offering of merit, we do it with the mind of not expecting something back for ourselves. Although it is one of the ironic things and great wondrous blessings of the world that when we make an offering, we tend to get things back in abundance. But still, we need to make the offering with no expectation of getting anything back. So that's a little introduction to transfer of merit. I'm sure much more could be said about it, but with regard to the ceremony part of this morning's activity, there are different purposes for ceremonial in Buddhism, in our tradition specifically. And so I can't really cover all of those different aspects, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the element of transferring merit. In virtually all of the ceremonial that I can think of in our tradition, and there's a lot, if you look at that book, at the book called The Monastic Office, produced by Shasta Abbey Press, that's basically a translation of the Soto Zen scripture book, Soto Zen school scripture book, specifically for all the ceremonial that's done in Sojiji, and that's a couple hundred pages of, you know, kind of ceremonial instruction and whatnot. So there's a lot of ceremonial in the Soto Zen tradition from Japan, and that we try to practice and do in our tradition here. And kind of virtually every one of those ceremonies, there's an element of it which is we offer the merit of this ceremonial in gratitude to or for the benefit of X, Y, or Z person. So every element of ceremonial, there's that quality of offering the merit of the ceremony. Now, One of the things about this, one element of ceremonial is that there's going to be some kind of recitation of a writing or a scripture or a work. Might be quite small, might just be the names of the 10 Buddhas, for instance. It might be a work like we read today, which is written predominantly by Dogen. Well, it's Dogen's writings compiled. We read the Shishogi today. It's Dogen's writings compiled by later Soto Zen practitioners in Japan. So we're going to be reciting some scripture, song, some element, some written element of teaching. Sometimes we recite a bit of one of the big sutras, the Lotus Sutra. The scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva comes from the Lotus Sutra, for instance. Scripture of the immeasurable life of the Tathagata from the Lotus Sutra. Anyway, we'll be reciting some scripture or writing, and that helps us personally to understand better the practice. It gives us an opportunity to read through, give voice to those scriptures, and so it helps us to understand those things on an intellectual level. And then, in some sense, doing the ceremonial, to me, one of its most important aspects is that it's a form of active meditation. It's an active way that I can be letting go of what's going on in my mind and bringing it back to the present moment, being still, and doing that in concert with others. So it's more complicated than just sitting meditation, because we're going to be doing that meditation at the same time as we're as other people are doing meditation. So it's in some sense a group meditation. But there's also this element of the ceremony. So those are all things which are focused on us, on what we get, how we benefit from the ceremony, that kind of thing. But there's another element of the ceremonial, which is that we can do it for the benefit of others. When we come together and do ceremonial, it's an act of community. And in that simple way, we're supporting each other. We're coming together and encouraging one another in practice and just giving our quiet support to one another on a kind of real, concrete, practical way. But we're also collectively making merit. We're doing a thing which is generating a little bit of light for the world. And I think that's not, I don't think, I want to really, I don't want to underestimate that. That when we come together and do a ceremony like the transfer of merit ceremony, one of its primary purposes is just to do something spiritually for the benefit of the world and other beings. And so when we do the ceremonial from that aspect, from that perspective, that changes us. That helps us to let go of our, there it is, back to what can I get out of it. It helps us to let go of our preoccupation with ourselves and just do a thing for the benefit of other beings. And to me, that's a really great kind of element of practice. I sometimes imagine to myself that I could sustain, I'm pretty sure I could sustain my practice in a situation where, there have been times in history where Buddhism has been oppressed and where monks were kind of disallowed from wearing robes and acting as monks in the world. I'm pretty sure I could, I hope I don't have to do this, please. I'm pretty sure I could sustain my practice in those times. I think it would be quite difficult, and I really don't want that to happen. But I'm pretty sure I could sustain my practice without the trappings, without the ceremonial, without the robes, without that whole thing. 95% certain I could do that. And yet, there is a great benefit in... And what I'm trying, the point I'm trying to make is, a lot of times, so what I'm doing with the ceremonial is that very thing, how to come together, how to offer merit for the benefit of beings, both the beings who come here and practice in the sense that I'm talking about community and helping sustain practice, but also in that wider sense, how can the temple, how can the priory be a place that is just doing good for the world in the way that we can, in the sense of offering merit, in the sense of offering a place of refuge, in the sense of offering a place to learn about Buddhism. So just the very act of the ceremonial then is transfer of merit, is transferring merit. And to do this particular ceremony, again, the world is, you know, kind of hurting today, these days. And it seems like a good opportunity to just do a thing out of kindness to benefit that. Maybe it will be small, maybe not noticed, but seemed like a good idea at the time. So that's what I have to say. Any questions or thoughts?
I find the scripture of Kanzen Basasa particularly beneficial that way. It was an offering.
Yeah.
It just has that quality.
Yeah.
Really in there. It seems so much less about the facts, the words and the facts that come off of that. It's, you know, that actually becomes less the spirit of it. Really emanates for that.
Yeah, and there's a promise that's kind of repeated often in that scripture. If you call for help, it will be offered. It will come to you. And in one sense, when the world is as it is, it's calling for help, and so we become Avalokiteshvara when we take action to help beings, in whatever small way we have. And, you know, I'm not in Europe right now. I can't really help people in a concrete way, but I can offer a little bit of merit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the faith that something positive will arise from that. And when I do that, then I also, when I'm taking a step in that way, then I'm empowering myself. I'm doing a thing to take a positive action, and I no longer have that kind of helpless, just slightly despairing kind of feeling.
I was just thinking how incredibly blessed I am. I'm here in this time of extreme, I use that word intentionally, extreme pain and suffering of another sister. And it was really pretty to me. I've said over the last days, the Portland Priory's there. I can go and take refuge there and give. I mean, my participation in these ceremonies, I know my life has changed so much as a result of. And when my other sister was ill and I started coming back and forth 5 years ago and then she died, I was sustained by this priory. And now, I mean, I feel the same, and I'm noticing how much, I don't want to say easier, because there's elements that are much harder with this sister because of her mental stuff. But it's like a miracle of how I'm able to be in it. And I'm just driving past. I flew up 2 weeks ago because of the emergency of the situation, and was hoping to come for Friday, but I couldn't quite make it, so I sat out front and intersected with Sarah. She was coming out of the 11:30 I just its presence here. I do drive past this lots many times when I just it's I feel I'm empowered by this practice, and I am incredibly grateful. And I have been taught, and I mean, Reverend Mado's directing me again and again just to do bows and ask for help, because that's how hard it feels most of the time. But I the merit of it, it was pretty that we had this ceremony today. I mean, that I don't have any proof either, but I sure know that it's worked in my life. Mm-hmm. And the life of others that I practice with.
Yeah, and there's there's a thing that we do. We come kind of steadily, may not seem like we're doing anything in particular. We just kind of keep showing up, doing the practice, making the offering of doing the practice. And unbeknownst to us, we're building a refuge for ourselves. And by doing that building process, when times are difficult, then we do have a sense of that refuge and can be sustained by it. And any little thing that we do. That's an interesting thing you're talking about driving past the temple. There's a thing in the Lotus Sutra that says, even should we walk past a stupa once, we will attain enlightenment. And so even just, and I've had that experience, a similar experience to myself when I was a lay trainee. I remember being quite busy with my life and not able to come for specific practice, but there was a business meeting that we were having. It was actually downstairs. And I remember coming in and being all kind of and just coming in and participating in the business meeting. Some part of me could relax and just recognize the refuge exists. There is a refuge here and is available to me to take advantage of. And I think that's a thing that is there, and the more we, as you say, just steadily do the practice, the more we are aware of it, and the more we can more easily take advantage of it.
at least I've heard it in from Christian circles, of developing the interior life, the way they would put it, and that's been striking me of late in various things. It's been really, last couple of years have been a lot of things happening, mother passing away, and one thing or another. And that really, has been there, you know, because you can see how easy it is under the various circumstances, personal circumstances, losses, and what have you, that if you don't have it, there seems this, you know, you're trying to grab onto something, you're out here going like this, you know, and you know, there's maybe a little bit of that, but then you say, no, it's it. I don't have to do that, you know. I can, you know, this is happening out there like that, but I can deal with it here, not be out there, knocked around, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference.
Every little bit that we do helps us in that regard. Famous meditation teacher Ajahn Chah in the Theravadin tradition used to say, little bit of practice, little bit of peace. more practice, more peace. Complete, well, actually what he'd say is little bit of letting go, little bit of peace. Medium letting go, medium peace. Complete letting go, complete peace. And we all being kind of trained in the way of, you know, kind of working toward getting that A, we all kind of think it's only worth it if we can get the A, and we don't really recognize that the little bit of peace is really valuable. And what I'm trying to say is every little bit that we do, even if it's just a little bit, even if we just drive past the Priory and think, oh, okay, gotta go back to refuge, every little bit helps us. Every little bit helps us. And it builds on itself over time.
And so somebody said, I had a vision of whether you're watching the news or you're conducting your own life or making a purchase or whatever needs to be done, how I find in the world things tend to be amplified, you know, really amplified. Big deal, big deal, big deal. Kind of theatrical and amplified, and this is new this and new that, and you got to have that, this, that, and everything. And how you're talking about is that little seed. It's so small.
Yes, yes.
It's just the opposite. It's just this little dingy thing.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, and I think why it's easy to get pulled off if you go out of yourself for this stuff, because it's just saying, let's go, here we are, you know.
Right.
And yeah, the opposite going within, and that little teeny glow here, you know,
yes.
Is more, you know, than all the lights of Vegas, for instance, you know, compared to it. So it's interesting. Though.
Yeah, it's the Quaker thing, you know, the still small voice within. It doesn't shout at you. It doesn't ever, like, kind of stand up and say, hey, Reverend Leon, don't do that. It's kind of saying, hey.
I'm here.
I'm here. If you want. And in some sense, the Priory hopefully is an opportunity for us to kind of remember that and honor it and cherish it, that little seed. Because it really, it's not really a, like I say, a Quaker thing. It's a Quaker thing, still small voice. It's not really just exclusive to Buddhism and practice. This is just our way of cherishing that right. Tiny seed within, and you know, it's a yeah. Well, thank you all for coming this morning and
thank you
helping
thank
us
you.
To
thank you.
Offer merit. Just take good care of yourselves.
Thank you.